Miss any of Today FM Breakfast with Grant, Ed and Ash? Download the Today FM app and get the Catch Up podcast now.
Ladies and gentlemen. 104.1.
Hello, good morning. How you doing?
Today FM. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Thursday's podcast. Great to have you with us. Enjoy the listen. Things we discussed today. Is it acceptable to leave the door open when on the toilet? I'm a hard no, but as
yes,
it appears,
fine.
No, go away. Don't be weird. No one wants to share in those particles that are wafting around in the bathroom. We talk people who have kicked cancer in the butt and survived, and we got one of the biggest stars in the world, Adam Lambert, joins us. Of course, the man who's fronting Queen, you know, for the last 10 years and doing some solo stuff, comes in to share some stories, have a few laughs, and we also do a reality check on him. How real is he now that he's this famous? Enjoy the podcast. In the Denyer household, it is a constant battle, everybody, to do my business in silence, in peace, alone. The bathroom is not a sacred place in our joint. Clearly, we've got two kids. They don't know the boundaries. There is a reason why there is a door on the toilet. Kids, please obey by that rule. But no, if it's locked, I see little fingertips come underneath.
Oh, little fingertips.
I hear, hey, Daddy, what are you doing in there? Daddy, what do you think I'm doing in here? Can I come in? And then now 3-year-old Scout has learned to unlock the door with a bobby pin. So she's pretty much going to end up in juvie by the time she's 7 years of age.
But then she'll get out.
Yeah. That's a really good point.
Maybe she's, yeah.
But is this an issue that you guys do? I thought that everyone goes to the toilet alone.
Yeah.
Ash London.
And this is something that we do disagree on, and we've had many an off-air fight about. Because although I don't have kids, I'm very much... like, I'll do a wee while Adrian's in the shower because our shower's next to the toilet because I feel like we get to hang out and do my business at the same time.
That's not a hangout time.
That's fine. And often he'll do the same. And then if it's number twos, I will often, I get lonely.
Oh, no.
So I leave the door open.
Oh, no.
And chat with him and he'll be out the door. Not in the same room, but the door's open so we can just chat. Sometimes I'll try and invite the dog in because I'll get lonely and want to chat to her.
So he's not necessarily in the shower, though. So he's just wandering in and out. You're chatting
wandering,
with the door wide open.
Whatever.
Will he chat to you, though? Because if Tiff tried that with me, and she has in the past, like she's weeing and she's got the door open. Hey, Ed, and I go, nah, you finish that.
Yeah.
And then our relationship resumes.
Weeing's
okay.
Whatevs. If I'm weeing, he can sit on my lap and have a chat. I don't care. He gets a bit weird when I try and have a chat with him when it's number twos. He'll be like, oh, but I'll still try.
You're trying to break him down, aren't you? You're trying to bring him around to your way while he's clearly uncomfortable. He just wants to be left in peace. You'll be like, yeah, I'll break
I miss him when he's in the toilet. I'm like Scout. I'm like head up against the crack being like, what are you doing? What are you doing now? What are you thinking about? Sometimes I'll text him if he's on the toilet. Because I know he's got his phone in there.
Yeah.
He can't escape me.
There's particles in there floating around. You don't want to be around.
Well, we're clean. Apparently. I don't know. I mean, I don't personally
That's called
clean.
Waste.
That's gross. No, I think it's a beautiful thing and everyone needs to get over it. Whatever. One day he's going to see me probably shit myself while having a baby. So the earlier he gets used to the idea that poo comes out of my body, I mean, we're all good. But we did an Instagram poll, but I don't know what the results are.
60% of people said it was fine.
We asked the question, is it acceptable to go to the toilet with the door open? And 60% of those responded said yes.
See, that's not the right question. The question is actually, is it okay to have your partner standing in the room or showering while you do number twos? That's the real question. That's the wrong question.
Should we throw it to phones?
Yeah, go on. Watch this, 100% on my side.
Okay.
It's not okay to have someone to be standing in the
room. The person you committed to for life, your partner.
131060, it is not okay to stand in the bathroom or if you're showering. And here's a scenario. Let's say that you were showering, Ash.
Yeah.
And then AB just walked in and sat on the toilet to go a number two. Would you be okay with that?
Yeah, more time together.
That is messed up.
I would say my marriage is stronger than your marriage is because we're okay with the communal pool.
I would say your marriage needs to be on the dark web, some sort of video. That's
all right.
Sick people.
131060 then. Is it okay to have your partner, somebody That's in the fine. Room with you Zero. While you are no, going Brett. Number two?
No.
Brett. Chat to you next.
131060, is it acceptable to go to the toilet with the door open? It's a safe place here to discuss it. I must admit I've never been to do a number two at high school ever. Never went to the toilet. Never.
Me too. And I developed serious bowel problems from it and constipation issues. And now I'll poo anywhere. And I, especially if I'm chatting to my husband because I'm lonely on the toilet, which is a normal thing to happen in your marriage.
No, it's not. That's just not right. So we've opened the lines to find out what everybody thinks.
Now, Sammy.
Sammy, first timer.
Welcome, Sammy.
Hi. So my partner and I, if I'm in the shower, he will come in and do a number one in the toilet. Because
then,
like Ash and
they're
next to each other.
Yeah.
But with number twos, no.
Thank you.
So there is a division. Can I ask another question, Sammy?
Sure.
What about if you're in the shower together and he does a wee in the shower?
Whoa.
I yell at him. Yeah. He does it all the time and it drives me insane.
Yeah, even I draw the line there.
It's good for the skin. It's fine. It gets
a lot of people are okay with that. They're like, no. Showers in the wee's in the shower's fine.
But what if you accidentally get some on you? Then
divorce. Then I'd have the divorce papers drawn up before I stepped out of this.
Wow,
that's extreme. You've really crossed over the line. You can have if you're nervous about doing it in front of your partner. Is I've had a fake shower where I go in there and pretend I'm having a shower and I just turn the water on while I go to the toilet, so it just sounds like I'm having
a
shower.
Don't be ashamed of a number two, guys. It's fine. It's all natural.
When you're new in a relationship, that's what you do. You don't want them to know you do that stuff.
Now you're married and you've had two babies, so.
Now my babies sit on my lap while I do it.
Oh, God. Kane and Cronulla, pooing in front of your partner. Okay or not okay?
That is perfectly fine.
Yeah, I know.
Like, what's Ed got to hide from Tiff?
Oh.
Well, lots of things, but that's not it. But Kane, hang on. Kane, it's not very romantic when you go in to a bathroom.
What do you mean it's not romantic?
It's not romantic,
love your woman
Kane.
If you can't, like... Who in front of her, or let her put in front of you?
It's not a challenge.
It's like a poem. You should put that on a Hallmark card, Kane.
Challenge.
Kane, listen. No, Kane. You seem like a nice guy, but you live in Cronulla. It's different down there. All right?
It sounds like different.
What's true?
It's the South.
No, I haven't dissed it. It's just different because, you know, that's where you're bubbling. They have bubbling, so people wee into their own mouths in bars. I used to go out with a girl from... It's funny. Actually, I used to go out with a girl from Cronulla, and she was like... This is amazing.
I'm moving to the Shire. That's for me. These are my people.
Yeah. All right. I sense a radio challenge. Would you, Ed Cavalier, go to the bathroom while Tiff is there?
No.
Please?
I sense a radio challenge. Just shut up. Okay.
What a shitty challenge. Literally the opposite of how you do a good radio. Gabby in Forestville. Now, I understand you are very firmly on one side of this argument.
Firm.
That is true. I'm 110% against this.
Thank
I mean,
you, Gabby.
What about all that magic in the relationship? Like, my partner and I.
Gabby.
Yeah. We've been together 4 years and we're still in the stage where we pretend that we don't poo. Like, we'll, you know, go out of the house.
No.
We'll, like, do it at times when the other one's asleep. Like, 4 years, we're still keeping it up.
4 years
wow,
and
my
you
God.
Don't poo in your house if the other person is there.
Or we make sure that they're asleep or, like, you know, you got to be a bit sneaky about it. But, yeah,
no,
like,
Gabby.
Never known about him doing
that
it.
Is not real life. Real life isn't all romantic. The most beautiful love comes from authenticity, warts and farts and poos and all.
Yeah, doing a Mr. Whippy in front of your partner.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
Gabby, do you fart in front of him?
God, no. Neither of us have done that either.
Have you ever heard your partner fart in 4 years?
No.
I've seen
him run
joking me?
To the toilet out of the room, but that, never in front of
so
me.
You've got to hold it in the entire time that you're hanging around. That must be an incredible amount of discomfort.
It is at times. But it's also an incredible amount of, like, respect for each other. Like,
great
you know,
work,
neither
Gabby.
Of us really want that. And
yep.
we're cool with that.
Do you know, 2 months into my relationship with my now husband, we went to the Philippines together and we were staying on this beautiful island and he had hardcore diarrhea and vomiting at the same time.
Oh,
and there was no toilet because we were on a desert island. And I was having to see him have full diarrhea and catch the vomit and wipe sweat off his face.
Which end do you prioritise?
I let him do the bottom end on his own, yeah, and just pretended that wasn't happening. And then, yeah, I got called the, and then I had to bring him down and wash him off in the ocean. And, oh, I believe all the poo and vomit, I believe that made us like as strong as we are today.
Oh, I would have left the relationship after that.
He was like, just leave him in the sea. See ya. The book is Survive and Thrive, How Cancer Saves Lives, Inspiring Stories of Courageous Cancer Thrivers. And we have got the author and cancer survivor in today, Joe Spicer. Welcome, my love.
Thanks, Ash.
Thanks for coming in.
No worries. Thanks so much for coming in. I saw your book. I've seen you on other sort of media outlets, and I thought, Joe's just a, firstly, your attitude's fantastic, but your story's very interesting, and then what you've gone and done with this book. So just if you could tell us a little bit of your own story with cancer, please.
Sure, Ed. My first brush with cancer was when I was 39 years old and I had an abnormal pap smear. That led to a diagnosis of SYN3, which is the step before cervical cancer. So that led to a hysterectomy. Then about 6 years later, I had a lump appear in my breast and I thought, yay me, no. And that turned out to be lymphoma. Wow. And I had over 5 years of chemo. So when I had these personal experiences, I guess I thought, look, there's plenty of medical information, but all that fear at diagnosis, I thought there's nothing out there that tells you what cancer is going to do.
Joe, that's a really interesting point. When someone in my family was diagnosed with breast cancer, we got a really helpful binder of medical information and all of the terminology and things which I read and all that kind of stuff. But you're right, there wasn't the secondary thing, which is of just the human element of it. You did feel quite alone quite quickly, if you know what I mean.
I know even exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
And it is almost like, I mean, for what I'm super healthy, I'm so lucky, I'm so grateful. But I think we know that, you know, one in two Australians will get diagnosed with cancer at some point in their life. There is, for me, there's always the fear, because cancer is this scary thing and you think cancer equals death. It's a death sentence. And what you've done is try and find the positive and speak to something where this is survivable and you can actually thrive. What happened in your life that you thought, no, I need to bring some positivity to this?
Yeah, I needed to. I felt that I needed to show people that you can get through this. Mm. There's a lot of different ways you can go about it, and I thought the best way to present it to people is to give them a whole lot of ways that other people have coped and put together some tips and hints on what worked for them, so that other people could see that their feelings were normal and there are ways and means to get through something like this.
And is it true that in 2019, more than ever, cancer is beatable?
Definitely. The stats now are around 70%.
Wow.
And the key is really early detection. So make sure you do all your tests, you know, you poke your poo with a stick and all that stuff. And make sure you keep them up, because a lot of cancer is just found through those routine tests that people think, oh, yeah, I don't really need to do that right now. Yeah.
See, I'm slack, Joe, and this is men. This is the men's problem as well. Mm-hmm. We hear it all the time. Yeah. We're slack. I'm turning 40 this year, and thankfully my wife sends me for basically every medical test most weeks. But so I do go, but I complain about it. But early detection is such a big part of this.
Yeah. It can make all the difference.
We just had something happen in our family whereby our friend, her brother was diagnosed with prostate cancer. Yep. So she did a roundup. She's made her husband, all the boys, go and get checked.
Right.
And found that, you know, her husband had very early prostate cancer.
Yep.
Now, he never would have had that test.
Never.
He would have waited years and years till the symptoms were probably really full on, and then maybe he would have gone to a doctor. And now they got it early, they can treat it. It doesn't have to take over his life.
Exactly. You've hit it on the head. If you detect it early, you've got a wonderful chance of survival. It's when it metastasizes and you're too far down the track.
And a lot of women get scared. They'll find a lump and they're busy mums, they're working, and they think, I haven't got time for this, I can't, or maybe they're scared, so they just ignore it.
Yeah.
And they leave it, and then 6 months passes, a year passes, and then so much more damage is done.
Exactly right. I can't encourage everyone to do their checks, do their tests, you know, take on the recommendations. If you're 50, do the bowel cancer test. If you do your mammograms, make sure you get them done, because you never know what could be there.
And did you find that you had a greater, because you talk about thriving after cancer, did you find that you had a greater appreciation of the gift of life?
100%. I don't know why we as human beings have to have some sort of trauma or
epiphany.
Why do we have to go through something huge like that before we go, hey, have I got the right priorities in my life? Am I doing what I always wanted to do, or am I just, you know, existing day to day, turning up for work every day? So, you know, it was great for me. It put me back into what I love doing, which is writing, and in a way that I could make a difference to lots of other people.
Amazing.
All right, Joe, we appreciate you coming in. So 131060, actually, we'd love to hear from you if you have survived, if you have had a diagnosis and perhaps you caught it early or whatever the situation was. We'd love to hear from you, 131060, because Joe is collecting stories. There's many in her great book, Survive and Thrive. But the more stories we can hear, the better off we all are. So 131060, if you are a survivor of cancer, and what's it done? What's it done for your life now? Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Now, we just spoke to Joe Spicer, who is a cancer survivor, who then went on to write a book, Survive and Thrive, about amazing stories of people beating cancer. Because so often, guys, it's something that sparks so much fear in us that we think cancer is a death sentence. So we wanted to celebrate people today who have kicked it in the butt and survived cancer. We're going to kick it off with Josephine in South Windsor. Good morning, Josephine.
Good morning. How are you?
Very, very good. Now, you've had an experience with what type of cancer?
It was breast cancer.
Cool. And when were you diagnosed? How old were you?
I was 48, and I was diagnosed in October 2017.
What was that moment like, Josephine?
Well, I found a small lump. I just was doing a check, and I found a lump, and I sort of didn't want to believe it was cancer, so I went off to the but I had a bad feeling about it. I don't know why, I just had this feeling, because I've had cysts in my breast before, but this one was different. Anyway, I went along, I said to my husband, I'll be right, don't worry, you know, and did the you know, the mammogram and the ultrasound, and then then you got to do the next step, which was the biopsy. And she said, yeah, you have breast cancer. And I went, what? You know, because we come from a big family of women. My mum's got a lot of sisters. I've got two sisters, you know, and no one has been diagnosed. It's not in the family. It's not hereditary. Wow. And that's what people need to realise. Breast cancer, only one in nine is hereditary. So, you know, it's not like it used to be, but if it's in the family.
You can't just say, my mum didn't have it, then I won't have it.
Yeah, although once you get it, then they do tell you that your siblings and whatever cousins need to go for, rather than 2 years, 1 year checks. But anyway, just getting back to the story, I was diagnosed, and I was on my own that day, which was, I was freaking out. Yeah. And I rang my husband and I said, they've told me I've got breast cancer. And he said, what? Because I'm quite a healthy person. Yeah. I've never had a sick day in my life. I worked, I had a physical job on a farm, and, you know, anyway, so got the diagnosis and went and saw the surgeon, and he said, first thing we'll do is try and shrink the tumour, but we're going to do that with chemotherapy. And that was probably the worst thing, when he mentioned the word chemotherapy. I thought, oh my God, I'm going to lose my hair.
Isn't that so true? As a woman.
As a woman, your hair, I've always had sort of, not long hair, but shoulder length hair. And I just burst out crying, you know, like
that's when you cried. That's when you cried. That was
so common.
That was when you cried.
Trying to say, look, your hair's going to grow back. Your hair's going to grow back.
I know, but still. But so Josephine, let's just jump in. So now, have you been given a clear, or where are you at now?
Yeah. I had the chemo, had the surgery, had the radiation. The chemo actually killed it before I even had the surgery, they tell me. So I was really lucky. It was kind of an early stage breast cancer, but it did go into the lymph nodes.
It's amazing. It's amazing that you checked.
We're trying to say,
so many women don't even check. You don't even know how to do a boob check. And that's something you can do. I did it last year. Go to my GP. I said, Penelope, I'll be honest with you, I don't know how to check my own boobs. And she spent 15 minutes with me, taught me how to do a proper investigation on my own boobs, and it's something all women should do. It's fantastic, Josephine. What a legend.
Let's go to Lois. Lois, hi, Lois.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Now, is this your, you or your husband?
My husband.
What happened?
So we got to January 1 year, about 3 years ago, and went to my mum and dad's. We had pizza for dinner. He got food poisoning, of all things, and he was still sick 3 or 4 weeks later. And said to me, can you please take me to hospital? Which for my husband is like the sky is falling. Reasonably healthy, tradie, doesn't smoke, drinks a little bit, that's about it. got in there 5 weeks before our wedding, and they said, you have bowel cancer, buddy. Big surgery for you.
Wowzers. And how did that feel? Like, when you hear that, and I'm sorry to ask a crude question, but did you think, I'm going to lose my husband?
Yeah. So the doctor came into the hospital bed because my husband had anemia and a blood clot in his liver. That's how they found the cancer as well, because they said, oh, this is not right, and went looking. So the doctor came in, and instead of standing at the end of the bed to talk to us, he sat on the end of the bed. And my background's in medical field, and I went, okay, this is not good. And then he said, yep, you have cancer and you need to have a great big surgery. And, yeah, I sort of sat there and went, okay, keep it together. I think that's a bit people don't realise too, is that it's just as hard for the person supporting the person with cancer. But, yeah, he had surgery and then he still married me.
You know, so. Yep.
2 weeks after the wedding, he had chemotherapy for 6 months.
6 months.
How is
that
he now?
Is full on.
Lois, how is he
He's
now?
Good. He's got the all clear now. He's still has to have regular checks and everything. But he had, he was 45.
45, okay.
So young.
So that's, thank you for saying that, because that is, you know, people even think 50 now. You got to, I'm like, I'm 39. I'm like, that's it. Starting. I've restarted, but that is, you got to do it. You got to get in early. Thank you for telling us your story today, everybody. We're sorry we can't get to the other calls.
Yeah, it's heaps of people, but it's like, I mean, it sounds obvious, but you just got to take care of yourself. Yeah. If you and like Josephine said, she just had a feeling.
Yeah.
If you've got a feeling that something isn't right, your GP is not going to laugh at you if you go in and say, can I have another check here? They, you know, take care. If you don't take control of your health and fight for your own health, no one else is going to. So it's wonderful to hear that you can beat it. We're in an amazing world now where there's technology and medicine. We've got to take advantage of it. So thanks, everyone, for your story. Is this the
real life? Somebody needs a reality check. Is
this just fantasy? It's a fun game we like to play, Adam Lambert, where we get people, big touring stars and stuff like that, and ask them very everyday questions.
Okay,
here we go. When was the last time you fueled up your own car?
I always fuel up my own car.
Yeah, like yeah. There you go.
Yeah. I just got a new car too, so I'm really excited. Yeah.
What did we get?
Should I say?
Yeah.
It's a bit obnoxious.
People don't expect you to be relatable. You're very famous. It's fine.
You're in Queen.
I got a Aston Martin 2019 DB11 Volante.
Bang!
And it is really fun to drive. It's a convertible. It's really fun. Yeah.
When's the last time you got a parking ticket?
Not for a really long time, and I haven't gotten a speeding ticket in 15 years.
Wow.
I'm a good driver.
You're a good driver.
I am.
Yeah, I like that.
What was the last bill you paid?
Myself.
Yeah.
So relatable. I mean, I pay for things all the time. I mean, I don't know.
You could have paid a bill at a restaurant, I guess.
Yeah,
still
I pay
counts.
Bills at restaurants all the time.
There you go.
I pay for, services rendered. Yeah.
I think I pay
for a haircut on Venmo, you know. I mean,
oh, Venmo. Right, we don't have that in Australia yet.
PayPal?
Yeah, we got that. There you go.
Are you a roll-on deodorant or a spray deodorant kind of guy?
Okay, here's some TMI, but I recently was told by a massage therapist, she's like, you know, Your lymph system is a little bit congested. Yeah. You should probably stop using antiperspirant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so the crystals.
Yeah, and so I went to the natural deodorant, which smells great, but it doesn't stop you from sweating.
You still sweat, but it feels weird.
But it's actually it's better for your immune system, apparently.
Yeah, it is. Cool. Yeah. Crystal. Yeah, absolutely.
Doing what it's
right.
supposed to do.
Exactly.
AL.
Get rid of the stuff.
Get rid of it. Yeah. You don't have to smell like us. It's fine. Do you want to pick one last question, one of you boys?
Okay.
Go on, Grant.
Do you cook? What's the last meal you cook for someone?
I do cook sometimes. I made breakfast for my boyfriend and
That's
nice. Yeah. I've got to ask this one because this is a very Adam Lambert question. Most expensive clothing item you've bought yourself recently or in general?
The jacket that I wore on the Oscar performance with Queen this year was pricey. And I bought it. Yeah, and it was pricey.
What was the brand?
It was Givenchy.
Oh, yeah. It's gone.
Hang on. Can't you just ring up Givenchy and say, hi, it's Adam. Send me a jacket. like it?
It was so last minute because we didn't get the with the Oscars. You have to like go ahead of time. You have to like get in with them ahead of time.
Right.
And they, you know, it was such a last minute thing, and I found it, and I was like, whatever, I'll just buy it.
Yeah,
it was,
for something like really that, expensive. It's okay. We forgive you. It's
but then
it.
Then you can't wear it again. That's the problem. Like this whole it's the unspoken rule of red carpet and whatnot. They're like you only wear things. Well, it's kind of.
I would think people would respect you if you wore it again.
I've broken the rule plenty of times because that's how I feel about it. I'm like, well, that's stupid.
You can't sell it on a resale website because that's worse. So you're just stuck. It's like a wedding dress, isn't it?
Yeah. Like when else are you going to wear? I try to rewear stuff. I try because I think it's a stupid rule.
Good on
you, Dale. You know what? You're a joy. We love the music. We can't wait to see you live. And thanks for coming in and having a chat to us about the new music.
Oh, my pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Miss any of Today FM Breakfast with Grant, Ed and Ash? Download the Today FM app and get the catch-up podcast now.
Ladies and gentlemen, 104.1.